Meet Sven.
Yeah.
He's very excited right now. Sven doesn't play poker, but he's still very excited. You see, Sven is a dealer for Porsche, and he's just found out that PokerStars players earn $7.5 million in VIP points every month. And with our all-inclusive program, that's enough to redeem 5 of the lovely pieces of German engineering every day.
Yeah!
Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to leave other schemes, well, out of commission. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Annie Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's October 1st, 2010, and you're listening to the best PokerCast on the internet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I am Scott Long.
Hey, shouldn't we be congratulated? Isn't this like our 1 millionth show today?
It might be.
I think it feels like our 1 millionth show.
The odometer only goes up so high, so
that's right.
It probably snapped it at some point, so it's hard to really keep track.
I tell you, man, we've been doing so much outside of the office lately, it just feels like every day is something new and something exciting for Annie Up. So, and you know what's funny, too, is you know I was wondering this morning what we would do if we didn't have Skype.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're up in Ohio now, and you know, you're traveling and stuff, and I just wondered if the streak would have continued had Skype not, you know, come our way.
Oh, we would have figured something out, but the interwebs make everything easier.
Thank God for Al Gore.
Well, you mentioned that we've been busy, Chris, and I want to go off the notes here real quick, because, you know, we have a great tournament coming up in November at Horseshoe Tunica.
Yes.
And we flew up there, and the guys absolutely loved us.
Yes.
And we absolutely loved them. And they're like, you know, hey, we got this big Magnolia Classic coming up. How about we kind of partner up and put the Annie Up name on it? And we're like, sure. And, you know, so the other week I was trying to think, you know, hey, it'd be nice if I actually went up there for it, you know. And asked for the schedule, got the schedule. And it's November 15th to 21st, a lot of No Limit Hold'em events. And then one of the events on there is a seniors event, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, these are very popular, you know, World Series as a seniors event, blah, blah, blah. The age limit for it is 40. 40. So, Chris, how old are you now?
I am 30 plus 10.
30 plus 10. I don't know whether that will qualify or not. Well, let me do the math. Yes. You are officially, my friend, a senior now.
I'm a poker senior. That's got to be a typo, right?
No, I don't think so. And I got to tell you, I'm really excited about this because obviously we travel a lot. Sometimes, oftentimes we get our meals comp. But if not, I am glad that I'm traveling with you now because we can go in any Denny's anywhere across the country and you can get me a Grand Slam for $1.99.
You know, when I was younger and I used to bowl a lot, they had the senior leagues, and you had to be at least 55 or over. Why? And, you know, and then when you now, you know, they're always saying, "Oh, 50 is the new 40." Well, now they're taking it quite literally and making 40 the new 55. What's the deal here, man? And you know damn well, even though you're not 40, you could pass for 40 if you went up there. So,
oh, absolutely, I'd probably. I'd be probably registering for the main event, and the lady at the cashier would be like, all right, so that's one senior, right? I'm like, ah, yes. And you're probably going to get carded and stuff to get in the seniors event.
Does this mean now I have to wear my pants up around my nipples?
You do, and you have to get rid of those white socks and trade them in for black and wear sandals.
And sandals, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is just remarkable. I still think it's a typo, though. I'm going to call them up.
Well, you know, hey, boy, I'm going to enjoy being the youngin', the kid, as part of this duo for the next 2 years.
Yeah, enjoy it while you can.
Ranks of the seniors. Maybe by the time I turn 40, I will have an Ape's Banana. It's not looking likely.
Well, one person that we know as a senior actually got heads up for the title, Mike Faso. You know, and it's funny, I don't know if our listeners recall, but the whole, what was it, the race for the Hyundai that we had, Faso
yes,
and I?
Yes.
It all was sparked because once I told him he was middle-aged. Because the definition in the dictionary put his age within their definition of middle age, and that's what started the whole thing. Then he challenged me to the race and everything. So, God, if he was middle age way back then, he's definitely a senior now.
And maybe that's what happened. Maybe he just ran out of gas, heads up against Bugs Bum, my new favorite moniker on our Apes tournaments. No, Bugs Bum, congratulations. You beat an old man.
Yeah, yeah.
For your first Nanner. And it was a tough final table there, Chris. Not only was Faso there. Well, actually, that doesn't really make it tough. That just means somebody got lucky. Bugs Bum was there, but Poker Geek, who is like always at the final table.
Yeah.
So he doesn't even sign on to the tournament until he gets to the final tournament.
That's right.
And be like, hey, yeah, hey, I think you're my seat, buddy. And kicks some guy out and just sits at the final table. Former player of the year, Corey Furby, was there.
Yep.
And a lot of other players, too. I can't remember exactly, but almost everybody at that final table was money, as they would say 20 years ago when Swingers came out.
Well, luckily, Bugs Bum called in, one of the few Apes champions who actually call in. So let's hear what he has to say.
Hello, Chris and Scott. This is Bugs Bum calling from my virtual casino where I just took down the banana for this Putnam at Omaha. I just want to say that it was we had a great game, and the final table was quite the showdown. We played for quite a while, waiting for the bubble to burst. But once that bubble burst, the game wrapped up pretty quick after that. And it was had a great time, and there was some great play.
Oh, very good, very good.
Yeah, and I wondered how many people actually knew he was heads up against Faso, because you know he's got that Billy Buckner 7 or whatever his his new moniker is on Stars, and and people probably don't know this, but the Bard was playing Sleep Deprived.
Yeah.
He had just flown back from Slovenia, and people ask me all the time, what the hell is he doing in Slovenia? And I got to say, I've talked to him 4 or 5 times, and I really don't understand what he was doing in Slovenia.
Yeah, no, he had some sort of meetup with Venus or something. I don't know. He told us a story about some lady coming out of the marsh or something. I don't know. But he had a good time over there. That's cool. And that's what he sat down, and he's like, hey, I'm jonesing to play poker, and he said he had a feeling he was going to do well, and he certainly did. I know it's his goal to win a banana this year, too, so I bet you he's heartbroken that he didn't win the whole thing, but he'll get over it. You know, he'll it's what keeps him drive. You know, if you win all the time, you have no drive. So,
yeah, I was heartbroken, too, because, you know, Bugs Bum hasn't sent me his address yet, but based on his area code, I'm guessing the postage is going to be more expensive than just giving it to Faso at the next home game. So Faso falling apart at the final table there cost us $2.11, so...
How'd you do at this thing? Because I didn't do too well.
Yeah, I was looking forward to this. You know, this is kind of my game. And I'll say that next tournament for the Pot Limit 5-card draw. That'll be my game that time. But I was looking forward to it. And unfortunately, I'm going to say something that I think a lot of our listeners are finally going to say, yeah, it's about time, Scott, you understood that. I've been telling you that forever. I got my table, and we had like 5 sit-outs.
Yeah.
I mean, in the actual event.
Yeah.
And not all of them were Juan Carlos Andy Upper from Mexico. a lot of them were like normal listeners who I guess apparently just forgot or couldn't get there or something. So I got a little off my game when I was playing four-handed with, you know, 9 people at the table. Particularly in this game, I like to play more of a trapping game with Pot Limit, Omaha. And you can't trap when you got 4 people. You got to be aggressive.
Yeah.
So I was a little discombobulated, as my wife likes to say. That's a big word that I couldn't even attempt to say normally, but she says it a lot, so I'm like a parrot, discombobulated. And I kind of recovered from that. They moved some players in, and then was able to play my normal game, and then just kind of got unlucky at one point. Our Uber photographer, as I call him now, John Dennis, who shot a couple great covers for us already,
yep,
right?
Yep, absolutely.
Grinder one and the Paul Oscar one.
Yep.
And he's been playing. He's from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
He doesn't type with a Brooklyn accent, though. Odd. But he was at a table, and he left me, Chris, with one chip.
I told him to do that. He asked me what he should do. I said, yeah, leave Scott with a dollar, will you? I appreciate
one
that.
Chip. One chip. And, Chris, I turned that one chip into 48.
Oh, my God. You 48-upped.
I 48-ed up. And then, you know, I was forced in by the blind at that point, and I had to go home on a suck out after that.
Oh, jeez. That's terrible.
I've been at 96th. But I got 96 trying to get the 96.
Holy cow, 48 up. That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. I know there's some people probably groaning at the table when John left me with that buck because you know they knew. Oh boy, you got to finish people off.
That's right. Scott's like cockroaches and Cher. He don't die.
Even though blinds are like 2,000, 4,000 with a $27,000 ante, even a unit I could play with.
It's funny that John was basically your demise because he was mine as well. And I felt like he slow rolled me, but maybe he didn't. I don't know. I was in one of the blinds, and he was raising on the button.
Oh, man.
So, you know, I had queens.
That's
with, like,
just something
like
Senior
cards.
Would say.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, this is what happened. Flop comes jack high. I got queens. I felt like he was just raising on the button. So when it got to me, I just shoved thinking, you know, I think I check raise them all in, you know. And he sat there for a minute, and then he had top set. And he calls me. I was like, "What? Where's the insta call?" So he knocked me out, and it was pretty quick too. You know, I just hate that game. I hate Pot Limit 8. I just can't even focus on it. It just drives me crazy. So I was knocked out, and then you know, my usual, everybody busts my balls about this, but my usual thing is, all right, I'm gonna go into cash games, try to win my buy-in back for next week, you know, that kind of thing. And I started with like $10 at a 2-5 game. And was knocked all the way down to $5 at one point. And when my session was over, I had $48. It was like one of the greatest runs of my life. And but along the way, I have to admit, this was probably the funniest and most vitriolic chat session I had ever had in my entire poker career. You know, it turned out I doubled through somebody, got $10, and then a couple hands later I had two guys all in, and I got to 30, and then that's how I got to like $48. So, but I had all good hands when I did it, or I whatever. So, you know, we're playing along, and there's this guy on my left who was pretty decent, and he was getting into it with another guy who was like three to my left, and they were going at it back and forth, and like one guy says to the guy on my left, he's like, "All right. Now let's play poker," you know, because he got felted and then rebought or something. So I typed in something to the effect.
Wait a minute, he said, "Let's play poker."
Yeah.
And remind us what the limits you're playing are.
It was like 2 cent, 5 cent.
Yeah.
But it's funny. He gets felted for like $12, buys in for 12, and types in with a capital NOW. You know, now let's play some poker. So you know, I type in. And that's funny because I was, you know, confused. You know, let me talk, Scott. All right, I'm trying to tell a funny story, and you keep cutting me off. My mom's got a contract out on you. All she has to do is pick up the phone. All I got to do is pick up the phone. So just relax, sit there in Ohio, watch your Buckeyes, and let me talk. All right. So I type in something to the effect of, "Hey, you know, I was confused as to what we were doing up to this point." And he's like, "No, I'm talking to the guy on your left, blah, blah, blah." I said, "Okay, that's cool." So they get into a fight. The guy on his left really starts to give this guy a bunch of crap. A few hands later, I knock that guy out. So I type into the other guy. I said, "Hey, you know, I did that for you. Just want you to know I knocked that guy out for you." And he says something to the effect of, "Go fornicate yourself."
Oh, wow.
And I was like, wait a minute. I was defending you, man. I'm saying I knocked him out for you so that, you know, you don't have to deal with that idiot anymore. And he's like, "Yeah, F you. I hope your kids die." That's
wow.
What he wrote to me.
Wow.
I said, "I don't have any kids except for the ones I had with your mother." So then he starts ranting and raving at me and yelling at me, right? So then I felt him again. This is all along the way till I get to $48. And I felt him, and he types in, you know, F-U space C-K-U, you know, so he can get it in
oh,
and,
yeah.
and dodge the, you know. So I'm like, why are you so upset? All of my winnings go to your mom for alimony and child support anyway. Right? And he just wouldn't let go of it. Knock, you know. So finally I knock this – so no, actually, the guy on my right knocks him out, and he finally leaves. So now I'm playing the guy on my right, and he's got some avatar name where the words Cubs and fan are in there somewhere. I'm not going to give this guy's actual name out, but he's a Cubs fan. So here's the hand that got me to $48. And this is why I'm bringing it up. I had pocket queens. I was in a small blind, and the guy on my right, the Cubs fan guy, raises like to 85 cents or something. And it's a 2-cent, 5-cent game, and he was like the first to raise. So it's not like it went, you know, 15.
Why so much?
I know. So I'm like, well, I got pocket queens, so I'm going to re-raise him. I'm in out of position. So I make it like, you know, $1.90 or $2 or something. $2. Folds around. One guy actually calls, and then he calls. And the flop is queen 9-10. And I have, of course, top set. So now I bet, like, pot, because it's pretty, you know, straight, you know, possibilities and stuff. And the other guy, one guy folds, and then the guy, the Cubs fan guy, calls. Well, the turn's a 9, so now I've got boat. The only thing I'm losing to are quads. So now I bet, like, half the pot, and he shoves on me. So I call, and he has me covered at this point. So I call, and he turns over jack 8 of clubs. He had flopped a straight. Wow. And he had raised 85 cents with jack 8 of clubs, called a re-raise and a call. There was a re-raise and a call. He called that with jack 8, flops essentially the nuts. It was a second nuts, but he flops the nuts. And then I pair the board. So at when the hand's over and I felt him, he types in lucky schmuck.
Ooh, brings out the schmuck.
The schmuck. And now, first of all, I didn't say anything to this guy. I mean, I haven't done anything to this guy all day. So I'm like, you're saying I'm lucky? And he says, yeah, you're lucky. You weren't good. And I said, I don't understand. I said, you raised like 157X with jack 8 off, get re-raised and called, and then you call with jack 8, flop a straight, and I'm lucky? And so we started going back and forth. I said, hey, man, you know, you're a Cubs fan. You're used to losing. Why are you whining? And that was it, man. He was M&F-ing me and all those things. And then I said, all right, I got $48. I got all your money. I'll see you later. And I left. But was I lucky there?
Wow. Well, you know, it's tough. I don't usually play those nosebleed limits that you do. So it probably was his mortgage payment, that 185X raise there. So I'm really not qualified to judge luck in such a important game.
I mean, I think there was a lot of unluckiness and a lot of luckiness in that hand both ways. But tell me I'm not good. I mean, you know, so I said to him, I said, so are you the one who decides who's good and who's not? Like, are you saying that you're a good poker player? And he's like, yeah. I said, okay, well, then why are you at 2-cent, 5-cent?
Yeah, there we go. That's what I've been waiting for, yeah. Buddy.
So he's like, oh, I don't need the money. And I'm like, well, if you don't need the money, then why are you playing 2-5 again? I asked you again. And that was it. Then he left. I felt him, and he left. So I have $48, and I was like, all right, it's awesome. This is pay for the rest of my apes, I think. So then I just signed off. But I couldn't believe the diatribe. People just screaming at each other on the thing. And I was having a blast. I was laughing. I was the only one in the house. You know, and I'm just belly laughing my ass off. It was hilarious. Oh, man. But, you know, I didn't win apes, but I think if I finished second, I would have won the same amount of money I had playing cash games. So,
and without the stories.
Yeah, exactly. And no story.
All right. Well, our next apes event is coming up Wednesday, October 13th. That is at 9 p.m. Eastern. Always on PokerStars. The game this month, pot limit 5-card draw.
And I'd like to just warn the Antiup Nation at this time that this is Scott's game.
This is my game.
This is Scott's game, so beware.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just don't even bother signing up. That way, it's just you're just going to waste your time, and I need this banana. In fact, actually, I already have the banana.
That's right. You got it.
Right. I'm not going to put it back in the box.
Mail it to yourself.
I was
going to
say outside
cool.
the box.
Mail it to yourself.
And of course, you know, if you don't have $5.50, you can win your way in our next free roll. That is at Wednesday, October 6th at 9 p.m. pot limit, 5-card draw. That's this Wednesday coming up. So win your seat. Also on Poker Stars.
Yep. And, you know, we got a lot of other housekeeping things to just remind everybody. I think we brought up most of this last week. But, you know, our Ante Up Ambassadors now is officially out in the lexicon of poker. It's out there somewhere. Our magazine is on the shelves, and we have an ad in there about it. So don't forget, you can apply at anteupmagazine.com/ambassadors. And if you don't know how to spell that word, look it up. But, you know, we're looking for a few good men and women.
Or women. And, you know, I logged on the other day to see how many applications we got, Chris. Zero.
Zero, yeah. Well, it's just started. Yeah. We just started.
Yeah, yeah. So, hey, you know, plenty of opportunity. And then also, if you want to catch up on the back issues of Ante Up and you want to have them in a bathroom type format, you can order our back issues now at anteupmagazine.com/magazine. That's $15 for an entire year, $30 for both, $25 or $50 if you are outside the United States. So check
and
that out.
If you do want them for the toilet, we will flag them ahead of time for you.
That is true. That is true. Maybe we can put a little brush in or something. Roll of paper.
And it's October, and our cruise is coming up, but we got some good news here.
Whew, boy, it's coming up real quick. 24 days from now. But but yeah, we're sold out, as we've been mentioning before, but I have started a wait list now just in case we have some cancellations. So if you can travel on literally last-minute notice, people on the wait list, if we have some cancellations, we'll let you know, but it could be a couple days before we sail.
Yeah, get on play now.
Yeah, email me at scott@anteupmagazine.com or call me at 727-331-4335, and we will get you on the wait list.
And we might be having our schedule come out soon for next year, right? We might have a few
hopefully
of them
very
planned,
soon.
Right?
Yeah. Hopefully soon, 2011. We'll see.
Well, we got some feedback this week from Father Paul. Remember one of our favorite fans who was on the show a few months back, and he heard the show about... you know, the husband and the wife wondering about, you know, the guy's bankroll and what he should do or not, right? So why don't you take this one?
Yeah, you know, we had the question where the guy, you know, he put aside some money, which was great, and then everything was going well until he started winning. And then the wife said, you know, hey, I don't know if you need all that money anymore. How about you buy some stuff? And so he's trying to figure out what's going on. And, you know, Father sent in a very well-thought-out religious – and I say religious because he's Father Paul, but it's not based on the Bible or anything.
Right,
but,
right, right.
But I got to tell you, every time that Father Paul sends me in something like this, I wonder, had I met him back when I was trying to find my way, whether I really would have become religious, because he makes sense.
Yeah.
Not that fire and brimstone stuff that scared me away.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's what he says, and I'll summarize it here. He said, you know, hey, marriage is a partnership. You got to make stuff, decisions together. But he does remind people you can't be a doormat.
Right.
So, I mean, just because you say I do doesn't mean you do everything. And he says, arguing sometimes is a good thing. Wow. See, if you would have asked me 9 out of 10 men of the cloth, whether they endorse arguing, I would say no.
No, I mean...
Or maybe this is a tenth, right?
It's healthy. It's healthy.
Yeah, you gotta get your opinion out. That's what he says. You get your opinion out, you have it out, and you come to reconciliation. Whew, boy,
about,
I got a little excited.
Agreement.
There.
How about that? It's easier to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, you know, we got to tell Paul, man. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't listen to the show often enough to know that I can't handle words that big. but he agrees with the original arrangement that these folks had, that everybody should have some play money. You know, if the girl wants to go out and have girl nights out, that's great. Poker, that's great too. But his qualification, Chris, is what changes everything is if you really need the money.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, we got off on a tangent talking about the air conditioning unit and that. And he said, if that's the case... it doesn't matter whether it's your money or her money. You got to make some sacrifices on your part, and maybe that means you, instead of trying to get a bankroll for the 2-5 no limit game, you fall back to the 2-4 limit game or do some $3 sit and goes. Because the money, it's needed, it's more important than whatever your previous agreement was.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know,
don't sound like you're buying this.
It wouldn't be the first time I disagreed with the Catholic Church. No. It's not that I disagree. Actually, I mean, yeah. If my wife and I were destitute and I absolutely needed something, yeah, I would take my money and I would spend it on us, obviously. I mean, I'm not saying that my bankroll is so sacred that I couldn't go into it to feed my wife. You know what I mean? But it just felt like...
Sorry, honey, here's a sugar packet.
It just
I'm going to check raise the river here.
It felt to me like they had money. You know what I mean? And that, you know, she was just looking for him to just spend his bankroll on something they needed rather than, hey, let's get together and budget our money the way we need to pay for this thing. I mean, what would they have done if it wasn't a poker player and didn't have that money? So that was the way I was feeling. But, yeah, absolutely. If you absolutely needed something, I'm sure if Laura was like, my car's broken down, Scott, we have no money in the bank, and you have a bankroll of $1,000, I'm going to fix my car, you're going to give her the money.
And I'd at least give her bus fare.
Exactly. So you're going to find a way to get her to work.
I'm going
to
drop her off at the bus stop.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm not being cold-hearted or anything. I'm just saying, this is my bankroll. You can't tell me how to spend it. But obviously, if something is absolutely necessary for the family and I don't have money to pay for it, my bankroll does, I'm going to use it. That's the way it goes.
Yeah, and you got into a little bit here, too. And this is where the real problem is, I think. And I don't know any marriages that work this way. But he said his problem is kind of when things change midstream. And he said presumably they didn't talk about a if clause, you know. If the money gets to this point, then we start siphoning it out. And I don't think, like I said, I don't think any married couple sit down and when they come to an agreement on something, go through all the contingencies. Well, you know, it'll change if this happens or this happens.
No.
I mean, that's why everybody hates lawyers. I mean, you can't do anything anymore without signing 27 pages of documents. And the reason it's because of that is because things change.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
And that's unfortunately what happened here. So, I mean, I guess you got to fall back on having a good, strong marriage where you can kind of renegotiate later on if you have to. And do it fairly. But that's the rough. But, oh, Father, we always appreciate your words of wisdom. From the snowy state of Minnesota, and hopefully that will help our not so feuding couple. But what's the proper word for that couple?
Antagonistic. No, I don't know. I don't know.
Not quite in alignment, couple. How about that?
Misaligned.
Misaligned couple. Yes.
Okay. Well, let's move on to our Annie Up news desk.
Gus Hansen won his first World Series of Poker bracelet in the heads-up event of the World Series of Poker Europe event, and he had to do it in unusual fashion. Tied at 1-1 in the best-of-three match, both players and tournament directors decided to suspend the final match because it's getting late and wait until both players had been eliminated from the main event, which began the next morning.
Man, that was really
Or even
wild.
Later that day or something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's crazy. And the other thing they were talking about doing was delaying it until November 9. And having like another grandiose thing, yeah. That was like the main storyline at the beginning. Was they couldn't figure out a way? Like, what if they went really deep, you know, in the main event, and then the other guy gets out early and wants to go home, or you know, make him stick around for 7 days because Hansen's doing well in the main event, whatever. So they thought about delaying it until November 9. They both live in America, so they're both going to come back anyway. But then eventually they both got knocked out quick enough that they could play and finish it up. So that would have been funny if that had happened. Like, oh my god. You know, yeah, congrats to Gus Hansen. Took him a long time, but he finally got it. Now he's got all those WPT events and finally has his bracelet. Although I don't know if it's a real bracelet when you win it in Europe, but whatever. Just kidding. The Washington State Supreme Court has ruled that lawmakers did not violate the U.S. Constitution when they banned internet poker in the state, dealing another blow to the efforts to get the ban overturned. In response, PokerStars regrettably announced that it would no longer allow for money players in Washington State.
Yeah, to be honest, I wasn't even aware that PokerStars still allowed players in Washington State to do it because of the law, but I guess they were, you know, kind of waiting. They thought it was unconstitutional and were fighting it out, and, you know, hey, if players want to take the risk of committing a heinous felony in that state.
Class C felony.
by playing online poker, I guess PokerStars was fine, but now, obviously, this latest decision, their legal experts got together and said, hey, got to pull the tent up for now. So yeah, really a real sad week here. For
absolutely sad.
Washington State, but as I mentioned before, Oregon, Montana, great states. So
that's
not going to cry too much for you.
That's true.
All right, and then finally, the poker world now knows the identity of mystery online superstar Isildur One. Apparently, it's Swedish player Victor Blom.
Yeah. You know, and I think there had been rumblings of this guy being him anyway. I think Tony G even, like, once outed him and then denied it. But I guess I got the ball rolling when Danny Negreanu, on his blog at that Full Contact Poker, was sort of like listing the top, you know, 5 or 10 or whatever it was, exciting young players. And he started talking about Victor Blom and all the things that he had done against Dwan. And everyone's like, wait a minute, that's what Isildur 1 did against. And they're like, oh, it definitely is him. You know, so, I mean, I guess it's been out for a while that he could be him, but Negreanu basically outed him this week. So very interesting. Now, and they showed photos of the kid, too. He's real creepy looking.
Hmm. Well, maybe next week Daniel's going to out D.B. Cooper. That I'll get excited about.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious. All right, well, our hotline is 813-448-1120. We encourage you to call our hotline and leave interesting messages. And if we use them, we could send you something really cool. This one comes from Godar.
Hey, this is Godar in Philly. I wanted to congratulate Scott Long and his Tampa Bay Rays for making the playoffs again. And congratulate Scott for not being one of the fans that Adam Longoria was complaining about. Living in Philly here, we've had a good run, and we hope to beat you in the World Series again.
All right, well, hey, you know, we appreciate the congratulations here on the Tampa Bay Rays.
How come he didn't congratulate me on my Yankees? I don't understand.
I don't know. Maybe he's going to wait until after the Rays beat the Yankees. Then he'll congratulate your Yankees on actually making the playoffs just for...
That's because the Phillies can only beat the Rays. They couldn't beat the Yankees. That's exactly why.
Well, you know, I was going to attempt to turn this this discussion into a poker discussion, but I think it's probably on shaky ground.
Okay.
But let me throw it out there, and if you mock me at all, then I'll know that we're completely on shaky ground, and we can just move on to not giving Godar any swag because he's already got swag anyhow, and reminding folks if they call the hotline at 813-448-1120. We'll send them great stuff like a deck of J Design playing cards from ClassicPlayingCards.com, the official playing cards of Annie Up. All right, well, here's the thing. I kind of made a little stink bag on Facebook last week. And stink bag is a word I read in the local paper here yesterday when I got up here. And they explained it as a stink bag is similar to a stink bomb.
Yeah, dirty bomb.
Yeah, that's kind of the journalism going on up here. Okay. Cuz that really helps me understand what a stink bag is.
Okay.
but anyhow, I went to my first Rays game of the entire season last week.
Yeah.
And you know, then I got a little back and forth cuz you know people, "Oh, you're not a Rays fan if you don't go to games."
Yeah.
And I got into this whole thing about how it's freaking expensive to go to a baseball game now. I mean, yeah. Like, "Oh, it's $8." Well, yeah, it's $8 for the ticket.
Yeah.
But then I get in, and it's $9 for a beer and $5 for a hot dog and $27,000 for a T-shirt. By the time you walk out, I mean, they've got mortgage brokers in there, you know, financing your day at the ballpark. And it's just ridiculous. So here's how it's going to turn into poker is, you know, kind of thinking of when you're going to the poker room, whether it's for a tournament or a cash game, is considering the real cost, I like to call it,
uh-huh.
Or the effective cost of going there. And, you know, we'll see this a lot maybe like in a, let's say, a rebuy tournament, right?
Right.
You know, like, oh, hey, the tournament tonight's only $20. I can afford $20, right? And then you get into a rebuy tournament, and, oh, my gosh, that guy, he sucked out on me. And he's calling me names just because I'm a Cubs fan. and you start rebuying, and then you walk out, and you've dropped $200 in a $20, $40 tournament.
$200.
It could happen, right?
Oh, man.
But, you know, also I'm thinking, you know, because we do these road trips, and we've got another great road trip that we're going to talk about on the show today, too. But trying to decide where to play, too. And adding in kind of the effective cost of playing there when you're trying to decide. There's lots of reasons why you decide to play in one room over the other. But, you know, some rooms, they don't comp you a drink. Some rooms don't even comp you a soda.
Right.
So, I mean, that's an additional cost, right? But more it goes to the players, too. If you go to a room where you've got some, you know, real aggressive players playing, it's probably going to cost you a little bit more to play there. Some days.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No? Yeah. See, your arm on shaky. You're like, all right, Scott, I lost you.
So the mailbag this week comes from... No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You didn't lose me. I totally agree. And the other thing you got to think about, too, is how far you have to travel, how much gas it's going to take, how much time of your day. There are intangibles that make going to one room more lucrative or less expensive I guess. So I agree with you. I see that. I applaud you for trying to turn it into a poker. See, usually what you do is you'll tell stuff that's not poker related. And here you've taken something that's not poker related already and tried to turn it into poker. So I applaud that. I appreciate
it. Okay, good. All right. Thanks. Claps too. Wow. That's great.
Oh my God. But I really think we should move on to the mailbag though.
All right, that sounds wonderful.
Okay, Ashley Butler sends this in. He says he's a poker lover and plays 2-5 no-limit hold'em. He finds he has a great start to all of his sessions, often doubling his $400 buy-in.
We all right. start great, don't we?
Yeah, I think so.
I sit down at the table, I haven't lost anything yet.
But lately he's been losing it all back, basically, having to go back to the cage for money. And he said he thinks it's because he sits too long at the same table and either gets coolered or impatient or he's just too aggressive. And then the other thing he wants to know is, do we think a $5,000 bankroll is large enough for that limit? He says, I am thinking of playing 1-3 no limit hold'em for a while. What advice would you give a player in his situation?
All right, let's take the bankroll for 2-5 no limit. Do you have a wife, Ashley? You know, a wife that's going to come back to you and say, hey, wait a minute. You're doing quite well at the 2-5 level. Give me some of the cash.
Could be a husband, too. I don't know if it's a man or a woman that emailed us. I don't know.
No, I've communicated. I believe it's I'll persuade. No, actually, I don't really know how to tackle the 2-5. I've never played 2-5 in my life, but it seems like 5K is probably sufficient, no?
Well, I think it is probably sufficient, but here's the thing is...
1,000 big blinds.
Yeah. I don't think of... When I play, I don't really play that way. I know what I can afford to bring with me that day, and I play. So I don't know. It's tough. If you're playing for a living, I don't think 5,000 is enough to play that level. If you're playing for fun, I think it's plenty. If you're not playing every day, then yeah, it's plenty. But if you're playing every day and you're buying in for 400 or 800, you know, if you get coolered or felted or whatever, I don't think 5K is enough. But I don't know. That's just me.
Well, you know, here's the other thing, too. He says, I'm thinking about playing 1-3 no limit for a while, and that's really the bigger key to me and how much a bankroll it is. If you're already thinking that you're fine going down to 1-3 if you have to, that you're light years ahead of most players.
Yeah, that's true.
Most players would be like, hey, I'm playing 2-5. I'm not going to go play that 1-3 kiddie game.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're allowing yourself to at least think that, then recreationally, I think 5K is probably fine because you'll know, you know, if you lose half of it or so, you drop down to 1-3, and you'll be able to back up. But if you don't have the discipline to drop down, then that's a bigger problem.
And here's the thing: it sounds like if he does have that discipline, then he should be having that with his original problem, which is what he wrote about. Was
exactly.
You know, if you do have that discipline to know I'm going to move down, then you should have the discipline to say, okay, I've doubled my bankroll. I'm happy with this. Let me go somewhere now. Let me go home, or let me only continue to play. Stop being impatient. Stop being too aggressive. Let me play the way I played when I got here. If you get coolered, you get coolered. But really, if you get cooler, then you're not doing anything wrong, and there's no reason to go
right.
down.
Absolutely.
So, but if you are being impatient and you're getting too aggressive or not playing hands optimally, then you better work on your patience and maybe move down. So I think you have the discipline to know what's right and what's wrong. So just all you have to do is follow through on it. And if I doubled up in my session, you know, if I double up like on three hands or something, I'm sticking around. But if I've been there a couple hours and I've doubled up, I'm going home.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Well, you know, it's not good long-term advice, but I mean, short-term to kind of build up the discipline, I mean, setting yourself, an hourly kind of cut off, you know, hey, I'm going to play for 3 hours each session.
Yeah.
Or 4 hours, and then not get antsy when you're getting close to that, which I always do. I'm like, all right, I got one round. I'm going to play one more orbit. And because I'm going to play one more orbit, I play every hand all the way to the river. That's not good.
That's not good. You don't want to do that.
But Ashley, hey, we appreciate you sending in your email to podcast@aniupmagazine.com. And this will probably help you in your goals here. We're going to send you a free download of the Poker Hand Breakdown Pro, a hand history analysis program for single or mixed games from element26.net. And look at folks there, have dropped a price for a limited time only. You can get that download for just $8.95. So
cool.
Actually, your version is worth $12.95. So don't think that we load the price on your swag. But everybody else, limited time only. Check it out for $8.95.
Remember, Sven, our friendly Poker Stars Porsche dealer? Sven's still very excited.
Yeah!
He already knows that Poker Stars players together earn enough VIP points to redeem 5 Porsches every day. What's made him a little more excited is the fact that 5 of our Poker Stars players have already claimed these lovely pieces of German engineering. Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to have left all the other schemes, well, stuck in neutral. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
Well, this was the kind of road trip I like, Scott. Nice and short.
This is a road trip built for you, buddy. I know.
This is something I can handle with our work schedule. You know, you take basically 1.5 days of your life, and you dedicate it to going to see the rooms in our coverage area, and it worked out really well. Very easy to do, don't you think?
Yeah. I think, you know, when we talk about road trip, we kind of plan it for our magazine and how we need to do it to see it, and it may not always be something that our listeners can replicate, because they're obviously going to play.
Yeah.
We're going just to kind of put some FaceTime in and talk to folks. But this one is one that should be very easy for our listeners to do. You know, it's to hit the 4 rooms that we visited. It's 3 hours driving time round trip from the Pittsburgh airport back to the Pittsburgh airport if you're flying in. Or if you're driving to, you know, start at any one of the rooms, it's going to be the same difference. So I mean, you could probably do that in a couple of days and get, you know, a good session at each one and get back on the airport and get home. So
absolutely.
Very interesting.
Absolutely. And so what we did was we went to Pittsburgh and saw the 2 brand new rooms there that are part of that whole Pennsylvania expansion, the Rivers and the Meadows. And then we made our way to West Virginia, which those rooms are still, you know, fairly new. They're new to the circuit. They started, what, 2007?
So they've only been around about 3 years.
Yeah, and then we went to those 2 rooms, Wheeling Island and Mountaineer, and it was a pretty good trip. But I have to say that, you know, Kenya runners have nothing on us. Because I'm pretty sure you woke up the same time I did, about 4 a.m., and we actually didn't get to bed till after midnight that same day. We were up almost 24 hours for that trip.
Almost, yeah. It's probably about 22, right?
If you do the actual math. I said almost. I didn't say, you know, exactly. It was a long
time. I don't know where the threshold is on almost.
It's 20 hours.
Is 4 hours? Is 5 hours? Is 6 hours? All right.
That's a long day.
Whatever, yeah.
That's a long day.
All right, as usual, we'll start off just kind of letting folks know about each of the rooms we went to before we get into the stuff that people actually tune into our show for. And, you know, we started off at the Rivers.
Brand new.
I mean, a great location. You can't complain about this. It's near downtown. It's right in the shadows of Heinz Field, which I thought was cool looking. You thought it looked like it was not done yet.
Heinz Field?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. It looked like they were still doing construction on it. And I'm like, wait a minute. I don't see any construction signs or any construction vehicles or construction men. Yeah, this is done. That's too bad.
Well, it's a steel town. They want to remind you that they could do more if they wanted to.
Yeah, just from the outside, it looked like it needed some work to be done, but I guess not. I don't know.
In the room, it's got free parking, too, except on game days. But even on the game days, if you have to pay to park, the poker room will give you the money back. So,
yes.
And the funny thing about the parking, too, that you notice when I'm driving and I'm concerned about not scraping up the rental car and spend all this time to look around and read the signs, but... apparently, you have to be 21 to enter the parking garage.
Not the casino.
Yeah.
Just the parking garage. You must be 21 to enter this parking garage. It's like, what the hell's going on in the parking garage? You got strippers and, you know, 3-card Monty going on in there?
Yeah, I saw some guys shooting some dice in the corner there.
Yeah, they're in the compact spot shooting dice.
That is one of the funnier signs I've ever seen.
Oh, my God, that was hilarious.
Can you imagine the family pulling in there by accident? Oh, my gosh, quick, get out.
Yeah, they got a parking attendant. They're checking IDs for everybody in the car. It's crazy. But the actual casino and the poker room, very spacious, very nice. The poker room was massively sized. I mean, it looked like, you know, the Amazon room. It was just so big, and they had so much room in there that, you know, they're going to add more tables once the tournaments get approved and stuff probably. But you don't have to worry about anybody's seat back hitting you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's always one of my bigger pet peeves, besides the smelly people, is is not being able to get out and run to the can without having to trip over 16 chairs. So definitely don't have the problem there. And even when they add the tables, I mean, unless they go crazy in adding a lot of tables, that room's still going to be pretty spacious.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
And real comfortable chairs. That's important, you know?
The backs on the chairs, they were just like sponges. They were so soft, they like sunk right into your shoulder blades. It was really cool.
Yeah, those of us with a little junk in the trunk like to have something comfortable to sit on. And those were really nice chairs.
And we got to meet the Dayside supervisor. His name was Sam. And he was hilarious. I was telling him he looked like George Hamilton without the tan, and you started cracking up.
But he was really funny. He said Leslie Nielsen. So we got to do a combination Leslie Hamilton or George Nielsen.
George Nielsen. But he was funny, real great guy. Been in business for a few years, not a long time actually. But that's refreshing too. We thought about that ourselves. You know, it's not the old guard doing things the way they used to be. He can adjust because he's only been in the business for a few years, and he's got a spine too. He knows to stand up to people when he needs to, and it was really funny, real good guy.
Yeah, because one of the things that you and I joke about often when we leave one of these rooms is we have a stock question that we ask all these managers. You know, what makes your room different, or what can people expect in your room? And 99.9% of the folks, the first thing is, we're a friendly room.
Yeah, friendly family atmosphere.
and we focus on customer service. And I'm not mocking that. I mean, that's great. I mean, that should be the number one thing that comes out of your mouth. But he was the first guy to actually say something else. He said, action. We're an action room.
Yeah.
But... we kept talking to him, and beyond the catchphrase "friendly" that we get from a lot of other rooms, he actually explained a little bit that they really have a fairly strict no tolerance policy on Deutsche Banks in their room.
Yeah, they had some guy there who angle shot and was getting a warning for it, and then somebody at the table said, "No, he did the same thing last night and got a warning last night." So Sam walks over to the table and points to him, and then throws him out like an umpire in a. You know, in a Pirates game, you know, you're out of here, buddy. And they threw the guy out, and the guy was dropping all kinds of F-bombs. And his right-hand man, Stosh, there, Stan, said that he was afraid that the guy were going to have to shoot him. They had state police there, and the guy would not calm down. He thought they were going to put a cap in his ass.
Yeah, and that was part of that came out of our survey that we just finished. There's a lot of people are kind of getting tired of this, people paying lip service to disciplining the troublemakers in the room. And definitely sounds just based, folks that we talked to that that's not a problem at the Rivers.
Yeah, very good. And we had the nice buffet there.
The little Grand View Buffet.
Yeah, overlooked the river and that incline thing, which is pretty scary. I wouldn't get on that thing, I don't think. But
it's not that scary.
It's that ride that takes you to the top of the big mountain that's there or something. I don't know what it is, but it looks like something that belongs in a Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah, you got to go to that buffet here in the fall because you got to get the pumpkin cupcake.
Yeah, you love that.
Greatest dessert ever. I even let you talk me into driving all the way back there the next day for lunch just so I could get a pumpkin cupcake.
Oh, man. Well, then we moved on to the Meadows, which is run by our friend Peter Lau, who used to run a room in West Virginia. And he was pretty smart when he set up this Meadows room, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, Pete's been around a long time. He helped open the Foxwoods. He helped open Mickey and Son. He started out the bike. So he's been in some of the bigger rooms and been on the ground floor of all of them. And, so obviously he knew what he was doing when he got an opportunity to open yet another room.
Yeah, I mean, he predicted that, the state, because they got a similar situation like we do here in Florida where the state, you know, controls everything and approves everything. And he knew that was going to happen. So he put in his paperwork for tournaments right away. Mm-hmm. And he's the only room now running tournaments in Pennsylvania. I think maybe now the Mohegan Sun has gotten approved for sit and goes. But at the time, the Meadows is the only one. And so he's reaping the benefits. He even ran a stud tournament, Scott.
Yeah. I mean, how rare is that?
He said the field keeps dwindling like by 50% every week, but he's got people showing up for it. So that alone is pretty encouraging. And that room was pretty nice, too. It was pretty spacious and pleasing to the eye. And I think they have some tables that are just tournaments.
Right,
And some tables that are cash games. And they got this really cool thing that you couldn't let go of, man.
I wanted to be in the cash booth.
Is the cash booth, one of those promotional things, or if you enough hours or you make the right hand or whatever it is, they'll put some cash in there with you, some bills, and put you in the booth and put the fan on and let you go
crazy.
Turn
the blower on. Yep. And see how much you can grab. And they were kind of laughing that the folks grabbed too much.
Yeah, they're like pinning it against. He's like, they're breaking all the rules. They're pinning it against the glass. They're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to just. But, you know, it's their money anyway, so he didn't really care. But I wanted to see what I really wanted, Scott, to be honest with you, is I wanted there to be a strong enough fan in the booth that you could put chips in there instead of dollars and let the chips get blown around and pelt you in the eyes. And
people come out bloody and
yes,
stuff.
Exactly.
It'd be like chip lodged in your face and be like, no, that doesn't count.
That's right. You have to actually grab them and put them in your pockets.
And then rip it right out. Blood would spurt out of you. Yeah, good idea. Surprised no one's done that yet, Chris.
Oh, man. But Peter, he's real proud of his room, and one of the things that they are real proud of, the first thing he thought was the dealers, the efficiency of the dealers. Because,
right,
you know, they got that Bravo system, which, you know, pretty much any room now that opens up a new room has Bravo now. But, you know, the Bravo system can keep track of how many hands you're dealing because it has a little sensor
right.
At the rake drop. So whenever you drop rake, it knows that hand has been dealt. So he's got this chart in his room. In his office, I mean, up on the bulletin board, and it says, here are our top dealers. They're dealing 35, 40 hands a week, and I'm sure he compares those two with mistakes made and things like that, too, to get them, you know, to see who's the best dealer and stuff. And he's real happy about that. And the other thing he does, too, is he makes sure that he offers games that aren't offered at the Rivers.
Yeah, so, it's an interesting situation there where they're only about 30 minutes away or so.
Yeah.
And trying not to compete heads-to-head because that's never good for anybody. But, so, you know, he'll do a 2-4 limit game there, and the Rivers, the lowest they go is a 4-8 on limit. And, you know, one of them does 1-3 no limit, the other one does 1-2. And so it's kind of interesting to see rooms. I mean, I don't think they sat down to work together like that on that, but knowing that they've got the appeal to two different groups of people,
yeah,
and you're
exactly.
not creating a bloodbath.
Exactly. And then the other two rooms we visited are also competitors. We went to Wheeling Island first. A lot of people know about Wheeling Island because of Darvin Moon. He's the man who finished second in the World Series last year and qualified at Wheeling Island. He lives in Maryland, but he makes the trip to the island to play. And they actually dedicated a table and an area to him. They had the story that I wrote and the illustration that my stepson drew about him framed on the wall. That was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they had a felt on the table for it, and they had a shirt framed there, too,
yep.
and signed. So.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, as they should be quite proud of Darvin and what he does there. But the thing I noticed, Chris, is when we walked off, is a huge Jim Beam.
Yeah, Jim Beam theme.
It's a Jim Beam theme room, and on the outside, it looked really cool. On the inside, I thought they probably could have like followed through a little bit. But you know, this is the second room that we've been to. You know, Dover Downs is a Crown Royal room, but
right.
The second one we've been to that's sponsored in part by a liquor company, and I think that's kind of cool. I like to see more rooms have kind of a corporate theme. I know
yeah.
other people probably don't, but
well,
I think
you
it's kind of cool.
It does more for the player, you know. I mean, I don't think they don't have like Jim Beam specials or anything like they do with Crown Royal's room, but
right.
You know, they the initial kickoff was they ponied up some money to help get the room established, and that's what happened. So now the other thing, now that Wheeling Island and Mountaineer are both being affected by this expansion in Pennsylvania, of course. So they downsized, they removed some tables. It's a little more spacious now at Wheeling Island.
Yep, a little more space.
And, you know, they had a few games going when we were there, but it was still, you know, it was an early in the day kind of thing. It wasn't like, an early in the week, I mean, so it wasn't like it was a busy day either. So but they had some interesting promotions, and one of them you really liked, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, it's tough, these promotions. You know, I talk about how much I hate the little dollar jackpot rake, but if you do it right, then I get a little excited. And one of them they had is called the Pick of the Litter.
Yeah.
Where they pick your name out, and if you're one of the lucky winners, you get a choice. And I like this one because it adds a little strategy
yeah.
to it. It's not just, hey, I got a club flush, so I get $30, you know.
Right.
You can pick any starting hand combination you want, and you pick the number of opponents you want to play against, and they'll deal that out. And if you beat all of your opponents, you keep all the money. And the more opponents you pick, the more money that you can win.
Right.
And if you lose, you at least get 10% of it. So you're gonna get something less, regardless. But you know, you've got a real choice. I mean, do you go with pocket aces as your your starting hand and pick just one opponent, so you know you're an odds-on favorite to win, but you're only going to get a little bit.
Right.
Or do you pick seven deuce offsuit and the maximum amount, nine people, and hope you get lucky and flop quads, and beat everybody and get, I think the top level is like $1,500 or something like that. So there's some thought to be going in there, and I don't have all the rules here, so I can't really. I'd love to do an analysis sometime where we would sit down and figure out what we would do in that situation. But like I said, I mean, you got a little extra a twist there to it. It makes it a little more exciting for me.
And another one they had too, and I think this was in another room as well, was the beat the boss, which is kind of cool. You know, the whoever is in charge that night gets to play against the people who are selected for the promotion. And the staffer, whoever he is, plays with cash chips in a tournament setting, like a one table thing. And everyone else at the table plays with tournament chips. And if the boss takes your cash chips, I mean your tournament chips, they go out of play. But if you take their cash chips, you get to put them in your pocket and keep the money that you take from them. So if he plays with $2,500 in front of him, and you got $2,500 tournament chips, and you felt him, you get $2,500. It's like the coolest thing.
Pretty cool.
That's a pretty cool thing.
So, yeah, some new stuff going on there. So, we got on the road and drove north up to the Mountaineer.
Yep.
Where we stayed for the night. And if folks have been there before, they should probably go back because it's completely different now.
Yeah, they've moved.
You know, they used to have like a 40 table room out by in the track building, and now they moved it into the main casino. Dropped the tables down to like what, 20 or so?
I think it was 20. Yeah.
And but still a lot of room there. And but they just finished the move last couple of weeks, so they're still tinkering, getting the bugs worked out. But big room. I think the manager there, Rich, was telling us it was the size of a football field. And I'm like, wow, really? And he's like, no, Scott, not really.
He's like, no, Scott, that's just But it is.
It kind of looked that way, didn't it?
Yeah, it's very spacious, very long. And, they're still tinkering with it. They're still trying to get some signage up and things like that. But basically, the move has been completed. And, this room, they do a lot with tournaments now, and which is a good thing. And Christine Stacy is their tournament coordinator, tournament director, and she's real dedicated to that room. You know, she had plenty of opportunities to move on to, situations that might have been better for her financially and even geographically, because I think she lives, in Pittsburgh.
Right, right.
And she stuck it out there. She's just real dedicated, and that's what you want in somebody running a room there or running these tournaments. It's someone who cares about your clientele and tournaments and succeeding, and that's her. And they run two every day, I think, right? Is it two?
Yeah, which, we're used to down here in Florida rooms, but a lot of our other travels, I mean, if you get one tournament a day in one room, that's a pretty good thing. So, yeah. But they run two a day there. And they all the interesting thing is they all use the same structure except for, maybe the special events, but they're all 20-minute levels, and they're kind of slow levels. They don't skip a lot of levels.
Yeah,
that I noticed. And I don't know whether the chip stack is the same for every tournament, but the one that you and I played in, we got 10,000 of chips.
Yep.
So that's quite a bit of play for a normal slow $70 nightly tournament. So
yeah, you get eight, and then it's like a $5 add-on or something for the dealers is 2,000 or whatever. So you get 10,000 chips, and we're gonna talk a little bit later about what happened there and some of those stuff, but those 20-minute blinds go pretty fast when you got guys who think that WPT is in town and the camera's focused on them. Because every hand seemed like it was a big decision for these guys when I was playing with them. And I'm like, come on, But we'll get into that later. They do have the Autumn Classic coming up.
Right.
It's a series. They like to run series of displays, which is good. They, they're not just running one event. They have a few events coming up, and it's in October. So check out our magazine and check out our website for the details on that if you're going to play in it. So they got some big free rolls, too.
Yeah. One of their big promotions there is they spent like 2 years, she said, trying to figure out how to do this.
Yeah.
And they came up with a concept where, if you play there regularly, you get they'll buy you into this $225 tournament. So it's a free roll for you. But it's not just limited to those folks. They run satellites for other folks for like $35, so you can satellite in. Or they open it up and folks can buy in directly. And because, you have all that free roll money in there, you got to. A prize pool that you can guarantee, which is huge for folks, and really brings people in from all around. So they're doing another one actually this Saturday, I think, right?
Yeah, it's a 10,000 plus free roll. And, the problem was that they were trying to give away a free roll to tournament players, but that money that they were giving the free roll was coming from the cash games. And so the state was saying, no, you can't do that. So that was the rub, as they say, of trying to get this thing to work. And then finally they thought, well, hey, we'll let them buy in and play into their own tournament. So then it's actually a tournament. And then it was brilliant, and it worked out. And that's how it's now. They're real successful. The place is jamming. She even said that, you know, everybody who was there was dealing. Even floor people were dealing because every table was taken up. So good for them. And I hope they survive this this crunch because it's pretty busy up there. You know?
Oh man, and we had some fun playing too. You know, I talked to you and I'm like, hey, we gotta finish the buffet, and I'm like, hey, let's play the night tournament and see how we go. And you look like you're a little tired there, a little punch drunk maybe. They're like, all right, sure, whatever. And of course you go longer than I do, which I just find tremendous pleasure in. But I sat down pretty early, and you know, the drink service comes around. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not thirsty yet. And then I'm like, you know, then I kind of do this because you never know whether they comp you drinks in a new casino or not.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? Forget it. I want a beer. I don't care. So when we came around, and I was going to order my normal Coors Light or something. But the most effective marketing ever, I think. They gave all these cocktail waitresses these Icy Light t-shirts, you know, for Icy Iron Light. City.
Yeah.
And the particular waitress that was working the poker room chose the smallest shirt possible. And it had Icy Light on it. And she came around, and I'm like, I think I want an Icy Light, please. I'll take two.
Two, yeah, I knew you were going to say that. Very nice.
Of course, she brings the tall boy over, and I give her a dollar. She's like, $2.65, sir.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I don't come. Which I found out later, West Virginia rooms aren't allowed to come. Beer and liquor.
There you go.
But I gave her $5 to keep the change, and it was the best Icy Light I had in my life. And I'm glad because that Icy Light outlasted my tournament.
Yeah, I saw you walking out with it. I was like, what's going on?
Oh, I mean, it's crazy. We're just bragging about the structure, and that's why I talked you into it. I'm like, hey, we're going to get a lot of play for our $70, and I was playing that way. And then I get pocket aces. I mean, what are you supposed to do with pocket aces, right?
Yeah.
I raised 5x. You know, it wasn't like I tried to slow play him and I got caught. You know, I put a lot of pressure on this guy. And he called, and the flop came with 2 4s and another low card. I mean, about the best flop you can ask for that doesn't have 2 aces on it.
Yeah.
And at that point, the pot was so big that I just shoved. And he's like, I call. So you know that moment where you push all in? And the guy insta calls, and before you're still pushing your chips into the pot.
Yeah.
And the chips turn around and look at you and wave, thanks, Scott. It was nice. I'll have fun with our new home. We'll send you a postcard. Because you know, by the time you finish pushing those chips into the pot, you're dead.
And the chips look at you and they're like, why don't you love me?
Oh, man. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. This guy's got a 4? I mean, at that point, I was thinking he had whatever the lower card was. That was the only thing I thought. The guy turns over 7-4 offsuit.
Oh, my God.
5x raise pre-flop.
That's crazy.
And he hits the miracle flop, and boom. I'm out. And, like, level 2. So I pick up my Icy Light and walk over to you, and yep, I'm out.
I looked at you, and I said, well, Scott, judging by my stack, I will either be in the room with you in 30 minutes, or I'm going to make the final table. And I made the final table, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, and I was watching you make the final table. Because I went into the hotel room, turned the TV on, and flipping channels, and you know, up in the air was on. I'm like, oh, I'll watch this again. And then I kept flipping, and I'm like, oh, what's that? The tournament clock! The Mountaineer Casino in your hotel room. Not only do you get the normal 6 channels that most casinos allow you to have, they also give you all the racing channels, so I could watch racing anywhere around the country I wanted to.
Yeah.
But they put the tournament clock and the wait list for the casino on the TV up there. Now, the wait list is awesome. If I'm up there and I wake up in the morning, I'm like, oh, geez, do I need to run down to get to a game? I can check right there and find out.
Yep.
Don't have to call or not. And then the tournament clock was great, too, because I'm sitting there, and even though you can't see you playing, Chris, I'm watching as people go down, and I'm like, I was cheering for you. I'm like, oh, hey, we're down to the final table. Chris isn't back up here. I must still be at the final table. And then like 5 minutes later, boom, you burst through the door. Yep, I'm out.
I'm out. There's one hand that made me, it was like literally a minute after you left. I get Jack 10 of spades in the big blind and like 10 limpers. The whole table was in the hand. And flop came all spades, 9-6-4. So I shove, and the guy on my left calls, and the guy on his left calls. And I'm like, are you kidding me? They all fold. I'm like, somebody's got the ace of spades. And it turns out they both flopped sets, a set of fours and a set of sixes, and I was golden because you know they're not going to pair that those boards because they're going to be quads. And sure enough, I tripled up, more than tripled up, and that pretty much propelled me for the rest of the night to get to the final table. So I was happy, you know, whatever. But, you know, I was just more happy that the night was coming to an end because I was exhausted. You know, when I got knocked out, I didn't really feel that bad because I just wanted to go to bed.
Well, of course, anytime we take these trips, we meet some people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
People might be a loose term for some of these folks, but and there's no better place to meet people than at the airport or flying. The whole flying experience is just degraded beyond belief. And we met three people that I hope we never meet again in our lives. And I got to say this up front, Chris, because I'm not trying to be sexist. These are all women. All right. Now, they very easily could be men. Men do all this stuff, too. It just happened to be on this particular trip that they were all women. So, you know, cut to some slack here as we totally pick on these quote-unquote people.
And it always happens right away, too. You know, it's never like it's a tail end of a trip and we finally meet somebody who's just weird or stupid.
Right,
it's always the first thing we're doing. We're in the airport, we're standing in line, and boom, here we go, you know. Now, it's not like it's rocket science when you fly Southwest, right? I mean,
you
have to check in. They give you a boarding pass. It tells you exactly your station in life. It says you are B9 and you are B10, and that lady, you're B18. And it tells you where to stand. Here's the B side. Here's 1 through 30. Here's 31 through 60. And then they even have these steel columns that have numbers on you telling you, here's your little corralled area that you need to stand in. I mean, it's like it couldn't be any more simple.
You don't even have to speak the language.
No, exactly. So we're standing there, and we're like B10 and B11, and the lady in front of us is B9. And then there's this younger woman, maybe in her early 20s, standing there, and the lady in front of her says, or behind her says, hey, you're B18. Get back there. And then the girl's like, oh, excuse me. Sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, excuse me. And then she would not let it go, right?
Stomped all the way back to her real place in line. And then presumably just started whining to a stranger because if she was with somebody, they would have been at the same point in line.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I cannot believe she made me get in line where I should be.
I was like, excuse me, lady, I'm so sorry that I trampled on your B9 area. And then she's still talking about it as we're all the way down the ramp and getting onto the plane. She's still talking about it. I'm like, oh, my God, lady, let it go.
Oh, man. Well, you know, you've got rude and then you've got oblivious, Chris.
Yeah,
and,
oblivious is right.
These next pair of women, I don't think they meant this to be rude at all. I think they were just checking into Mars. But we were getting on the plane to fly home for the day at the Pittsburgh airport. And, you know, we're in that little port where you have to, like, completely unpack and take all your clothes off to repack on the other side of the x-ray machine. And, you know, I'm doing all that, getting my BlackBerry out, my wallet, and taking my laptop out, make sure it's in its own little separate case, getting my liquids out, even though you don't do that. And all of a sudden I look up and I'm like, why aren't we moving? There's nobody in front of me going to the x-ray machine, but none of the bags are moving. And I look around to you, and then I look back, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. The women, they took their bags and everything out. And you know those little metal prep tables they put there where you can kind of take your stuff out?
Yeah, yeah.
They stopped right there. They got so excited that they got everything, they got their shoes off and everything, that they just left. Prance through the little x-ray machine and totally believes the fact that the tables don't move.
Yeah, apparently they thought they were at the checkout line at Publix.
it's somebody was going to drag it through there for them. Like the TSA agents had nothing better to do.
Oh, my God.
So I had to go there and actually move all their bags through myself. And they had like five bags.
I know. It's ridiculous. And then when we get through, we finally get there. We get our stuff in there. We go on the other side. And then the guy's like, nope, got to put all the bags through again. And we're like, what are you talking about?
Settlers, yeah, they're all prancing off to the gate.
The ladies are gone, but you and I have to start our stuff all over again because something happened to the x-ray machine. Here I am thinking, oh, my God, they're going to nab me for taking that soap from the hotel room or something. You know, but it was just because something wrong with the x-ray machine. But it all because of these girls. If they had just pushed their stuff through, we might have gotten our stuff through and, you know, whatever. But oh my God. So then we get on the plane, and this is coming home, and we're taking off. Okay, we're taking off, and we're literally, you know, we're, you know, like
actually,
when you start
in the air.
Yeah, we're in the air, and you know when you're on that incline where all of the luggage starts to shift and all the plastic starts to make that creaking noise. So you know the plane is taking off. You know that you're in the air, okay? Basically because you see the airport, 10,000 feet below you. All of a sudden, I hear this lady yelling at another lady. I turn around, and there's a easily 21-year-old girl on the phone talking.
Not the phone in the plane, on the cell phone.
No, her cell phone. Okay, yeah, we're taking off right now. We're in the air, so I should be there in about 2 hours. So I'll see you then. And the lady next to her starts yelling at her. Turn your phone off! Off! Not even partially on! Turn it off! All the way off! So the girl's like, yeah, okay, I'm turning it off. She's like, no, you don't understand. It needs to be off! Don't they tell you to turn it off for a reason? You could be killing us! You know, I was like, oh my God, this is awesome! Oh my God, I couldn't believe it.
Oh man, I wish I would have seen that. You put me in the row in front of me, though, because you didn't want to be seen with me, which I can understand. But
no, I love that fact. You know, we sit there and try to sit together all the time, and we go like to row 50.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, there's two right there in 6 and 5. We can get out real quick, and we can still talk to each other, Let's just sit down right here. Oh, man.
Well, but I'm almost talked out after this trip, because before I got to the oblivious ladies, I met a new friend, Chris.
Yeah.
And I did what all people do that meet new friends. I pass him off to you.
Yeah.
So he became your new friend.
Thanks.
I just got the IDs checked, and the guy's like, oh, hey, India Magazine. So have you guys been over to the new casino? Or like, no, really? Hey, we're in Pittsburgh. We had no idea there's new casinos here, buddy. But no, of course he didn't say that. And he's like, yeah, the slots are real tight there. And I'm like, yeah, slots are kind of tight everywhere, buddy. Maybe you should play take a poker. And at that point, we reconnect, right?
Yeah.
And then you jump into the conversation. I'm like, yes. And you continue talking to this guy. This guy followed us all the way through to past the x-ray machine.
Yep. He was all
just
the way.
Just talking to him. That was his job. His
nothing
job was
better to do. Glad to see the government is really keeping track of how many employees they actually need to keep us all safe. But this guy starts telling us that, poker's great. We get these family reunions together and, sometimes we get $1,000 pots when we're playing poker. It's brother against brother. And I'm like, dude, really? He's like, yeah, $1,000 pots. I'm like, oh my God, my parents won't even let us play for money, not because they're afraid they're going to come between us and, I'm like, you guys are playing for thousands of dollars. That's crazy. But he would not shut up. And it was fine. He's...
Oh, yeah, very nice guy. I thought it was funny that he had no better. His job that day was just to talk to us.
And the thing was, too, is that was right when we had to push the ladies' bags through and get delayed for an hour. So you're thinking that this friendly conversation is going to end quickly. And I'm talking to him for 25 minutes. I'm like, oh, my God, please, just take me away. Get me through this damn thing.
But he wasn't the most talkative person we met on this trip, was he?
No. So, we go to the buffet at Mountaineer. And, they almost always, when they do the comp or when they do whatever, they almost always sign your name, because you a lot of times you do all the booking or whatever, or you have the card or whatever it is. And in this case, the guy used my name, and he puts my last name down. So we get to the register lady, and nice lady, she's probably in her late 70s, and she says, Cosenza? And I said, yeah, that's me. What's up? And she said, where are you from? And I was like, I live in Florida now, but I'm from Connecticut. Why? She goes, my husband's name was Cosenza, and my grandson is a Cosenza. And I'm like, maybe we're related. I'm like, what part of the boot you from, lady? She's like, no, I'm from Weirton, which is, right near there.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I don't have any relatives down here. I said, all my relatives on the Cosenza side were, basically Connecticut. And, she says, well, my grandson, and she pulls out, like, these business cards that are magnets, She goes, my grandson has 24 auto service trucks. He has a fleet of these trucks, and she's all proud of him, which she should
very
be.
Proud.
Every
yeah, absolutely.
Always
it's great.
This guy's got a great business, and I'm happy. So she's like, you know, and so I don't know if she wants me to take the card or she's just bragging or, you know, so I'm like, well, that's wonderful. You know, it's not, you know, not every day you meet a Cosenza. I mean, we meet six longs when we fall out of the car. But, you know, a Cosenza is very rare around here. So she was all excited. I was kind of excited. I'm like, this is cool, you know, whatever. So she's like, well, here's your receipt. Thanks, you know, whatever. So we're having dinner and a couple minutes later she comes over and she's got, look, I've written out his name. His name is, you know, whatever his name was. And then here's his address, and here's his phone number, and here's his business card, and I want you two to connect. I think this could be a great relationship. And she's all excited and everything, and I'm like, yeah, okay, lady. You know, so, I mean, it was just remarkable that I ran into a Cosenza, but then, you know, she wants me to become his pen pal, and, you know, I might have some stalker or something, I don't know. But it was pretty fun.
She just, like, popped up at her table, here you go!
Then she left her pen there. Yeah, and I'm like, yeah. I was sure to give the pen back because she could have had something planted in the pen. I could have some sort of GPS thing in there to keep track of where I am, you know. So I made sure I gave it back. But that was really cool. That was kind of special to actually meet somebody probably somehow was related to me.
Yeah, and it was a special trip for me, too, because when we checked into our hotel room at the Mountain Air, immediately went to the restroom, tankless toilet. Absolutely no possibility that I could ruin the plumbing. You know, unless I had that fifth plate at the buffet.
Well, you know that I called ahead and asked if they had any tankless rooms. Because I was the one who booked the room for us. So I called ahead and said, hey, you know, you guys got any rooms that my partner can't destroy anything? And they're like, yeah, we got a tankless toilet on the fifth floor. I'm like, all right, let's take it. I'll take it.
So I thought I was going to escape without doing any damage. But of course we're getting ready to leave, and you know, I like to hang my shirt up in the bathroom to let the, you know, the hot water from the shower take some wrinkles out because I don't know how to use an iron.
Yeah.
And so I took my shirt off, went to hang the hanger up, and boom, the hanger goes crashing down the ground. I'm like, what? And I pick it up. I totally busted the hanger. I don't know how I did it. I just put it on the little in the closet, and maybe we had termites. I don't know, but. The little wood hanger just fell apart.
Yeah, it was funny because I heard you like rumbling with your bags and stuff in the morning, and I wake up like my eyes are still sealed shut, and I'm like, Scott, you're not allowed to touch the toilet. That's when you tell me that it's, you know, that it's tankless, and then right at that moment you smash the hanger. I'm like, oh my god, this is unbelievable. I tell you, for one like a 24-hour trip, man, we got a lot of stuff happening to us. It's ridiculous.
Oh man, yeah, we didn't think we were gonna have that much, but. Great trip. So, yeah, we definitely encourage folks to, you know, get up to Pittsburgh, West Virginia, check out those rooms and, you know, in the rooms that we've done on the road trip. I think we're not doing any more road trips for a while, so.
Yeah.
But we'll still be on the road. I mean, you're going to Vegas here in a couple of weeks and, you know, we got the cruise coming up. So we'll have some stories.
Yeah.
But not road trip stories for a while. So get on the road and check out those places.
This is Joe Navarro, and you're listening to the best poker cast in all the universe, Ante Up, the absolute best on poker.
All right, I got a rebuy tournament hand for you, Chris.
Oh, my favorite.
Yes.
Because I never rebuy.
Yeah, exactly. You play like a freeze-out.
That's right.
All right. Well, it's a little different because some of the stuff plays into this hand, and I think you'll probably agree. But we'll see. We'll see what you think. Maybe, okay. Maybe you won't agree with me. Comes from our new friend Riley Crawford.
Cool name.
All the way from Utah.
That's a cool name.
Isn't it an awesome name? It's Riley. Like a movie star name.
Riley Jackson.
Yeah. All right. Now he says it's a tournament style home game. $5. You get 10,000 in chips.
Wow.
You have unlimited rebuys into the end of the third round, and each rebuy is $3 and gives you 5,000 more chips. And at the end of the third round, you can do a $3 add-on for 5,000 more in chips.
Okay.
All right, so this tournament probably goes on for 4 or 5 weeks.
Okay, yeah, I think that's what I'm going to say. This is going to be one of those types where you just show up at 7 and you leave at 7.
Yeah, a lot of chips in play here. Now, each round is 15 minutes, so that helps a little bit. And blinds start at 100, 200. And this hand, Chris, takes place on the very first hand of the tournament.
Oof. Jeez.
All right. Now, I don't know whether I didn't really say whether people can, you know, rebuy right away. You know, sometimes people do that. They'll put their extra $3 in and start with 10 grand or something like that. But it didn't say, so I don't know. So we're assuming everybody has 10 grand in chips.
Right.
And he says it's a regular home game, so players know each other pretty well, which helps.
Yep.
Six players at our table. The under the gun folds. +2 min raises to 400. Love that.
Yeah.
All right. Our read on her is that she's a weak, timid, pre-flop type player who turns into a ferocious calling station after catching any piece of the flop. All right. We've all played with people like this. Usually in the 2-4 limit game.
Okay.
All right. We look down at ace of clubs, 10 of diamonds. And what do? With the hand that regrettably is known as the Cosenza.
Well, clearly it's named after me because I'm the only one who can play it properly. So this person should fold. Don't attempt to play this hand unless you're the lady at the buffet at the Bonaire, or if you're me, because your last name needs to be Cosenza.
Yeah, if you're from the Weirton Cosenzas, then you could definitely play this.
You know, here's the thing, Scott. It's the first hand. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go with
good,
our heroes.
I'm tired of you lying with
Yeah, because it's poker, and sometimes I lie. But in this case, I'm going to go with our hero's read.
Okay.
Their hero said that the person who Min raised was timid and pre-flop tight. Right. So if this person's really tight, and on the first hand of a tournament, Min raises, they ain't got no suited connectors, man.
Yep.
That's a pretty big hand, and I think I'm behind already no matter what I have. And I really think that, am I on the button? No, I'm not even on the button, right? You didn't say I was on the button, so.
Right, I believe we're probably in the hijack seat here.
Okay, so I'm.
Cut off.
I really believe that I would fold this hand.
I don't believe it, but I would. No, I absolutely believe you because I would do the same thing.
Yep.
And really has less to do with a lot of stuff. It's just these ace 10, ace queen, ace jack hands just get people into so much trouble.
Yeah.
And you're right. The read is that she's a pre-flop type player. I mean, what has she got that you can beat here?
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking for a monster flop if you call. Now, if you call the 400, I mean, it's less than 10%. You know, first hand of the tournament, I guess, but why waste that $400?
No, exactly. And
save it.
Let the tournament go. I mean, all right. So let's just say, knowing on what he said about her, it's got to be aces, kings, queens, ace king. Okay, those are the hands that I'm putting this person on, and I trail every one of those.
Right.
And I need to hit massive to catch up on any of them.
Exactly.
So I'm out of the hand. So that's it. So now I'm off to the hand of the week. Let's end the show here. I'm Chris Cosenza.
All right. Well, our hero decides to call. And, here's the thing. If you're going to play it, I really can't reconcile in my mind how I would play it if I was forced to play it. You know, like a Jack Bauer with a gun to my spine here. He says, you're playing this hand. I guess I would call, but I mean, if you're going to play a hand like that, you might want to raise and just be sure you're at least heads up, right?
I maybe. It's just that you still have the button, apparently, the button behind you, the blinds behind you.
Yeah, the button with two blinds, yeah.
You know, and if I'm going to make a 1,200, which is 10% of my stack, you know, and then she's going to, if she re-raises me, then I'm getting out, but I could get a call and maybe flop two pair or something, I don't know. But if I had to play it, I'm calling. I don't think I'm raising.
I guess that's the more of the reason to fold here is if you don't feel comfortable raising, then you should fold. You shouldn't call. So
I agree.
And I don't feel comfortable raising this hand.
No, I'd get away from it really, to be honest. I mean, I'll obviously play Riley's hand the way he played it, but for me, I'm getting out of it.
All right. Well, our hero calls fairly quickly. The button folds, small blind folds, and the big blind, who our read is another weak tight player. Who can also be strung along if she feels like she could caught a piece of the flop, including any draw, thinks about calling forever in all caps.
Jeez.
Must be a regular at the Mountaineer. and finally, calls. All right, so we got three of us going to the flop, 1,200 the pop. Wow. And the flop is king of spades, queen of spades, jack of spades. All right, so we flop Broadway, which is great.
Man.
But three spades out there, not great.
Yeah, I was going to say bingo, bango, bongo, but all those spades, now I'm just going to say bingo.
that's what it was actually 1,300 because we had the dead small blind.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so 1,300 in a pot. We have about 9,600, right? I guess because we have 10,000 we started with. So we have 9,600. So that's, All right, so what happens? Because we're not first to act, so.
Right. The big blind thinks for a lengthy period of time and checks. The initial raiser bets 400, and it comes to us.
That's wild. I mean, 400, it's like, it's kind of weak. I'm trying to read what that bet would mean from a really tight player who min-raised.
What's frustrating about this, this is like classic 2-4 limit. You know, we're playing against people that are not not strong players, I guess is the best way to say it, right?
Yeah,
that makes it all of our decisions, no matter what we do, much more difficult.
Well, okay. It feels like this person could have the ace, like pocket aces with the ace of spades, or a set. That's what it feels like. And they're just kind of, you know, either got a monster, or they, I don't think they missed that flop. I don't think this woman missed a flop. So
no,
I'm going to raise now and try to find out. I really have to raise here to find out, because otherwise, you know, I could let them, if I just call, they can, if the board pairs, I don't know where I am. I already don't have the nuts. I have a Broadway, but I don't have the nuts, so.
Right. And there's no chance to approve to the.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had no spades in our hand, so.
Yeah, this is it. This is as good as it's going to get. So I guess I'm going to raise to 1,200 now, and then if I get called, be real careful, and if I get re-raised, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to raise, so.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, the thing I like about this situation is it's a rebuy tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to just blow through my 10,000 chips because it's a rebuy tournament, but these are hands that are real difficult to play in a freeze route.
Yeah.
You know, you flopped Broadway, but, you know, anybody that's got deuce tray of spades has you crushed.
Yep, yep.
And you can't improve on them. And, you know, in a freeze-out tournament, you got to be concerned that if somebody does have that, or they stick around and they catch another spade, you're gone.
Yep, yep.
The fact that it's a rebuy tournament, you know, I'm willing to be a little more aggressive here because, boom, if I'm gone, I put another $3 in and I'm back in the game.
Yep.
And if I'm wrong that they don't have spades, then I'm doubling up or at least taking down this pot, and I'm happy with that. So,
yeah,
really happy that I'm in a rebuy tournament at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. So you agree with me, right? Raising here?
Oh yeah, yeah. Because remember, we got that big blind that was thinking for a while too. I definitely don't want to draw. Have two people draw on spades against
exactly,
me.
Exactly.
So if I can get at least one of them out, I'm happy. I'd love to get both of them out just so hey, I've got this. Get out of my way.
Yep.
But I'm not gonna. If I call here, then that's just gonna let the big blind come in too. And now I've got to fade all kinds of cards on the next one.
Yeah. So we would raise, but what does what happens? I hope that.
All right. Our hero automatically calls.
Automatically? What does that mean? Like they were pre-programmed that they had to call them out of
Moscow?
Yeah,
they didn't manually move their chips into the pot. You know, George Jetson had a little contraption. And dropped in.
They had that click here for call any at the table.
Yeah.
All right, well, I totally disagree with the call. I just think that you're not getting an information. You're not forcing the other person out who can easily have a spade. So I totally disagree with that. That's already another mistake that you need to be thinking about. I would have folded preflop, but now that I haven't, I would have raised here.
Well, you know, here, I guess, I mean, I'm not trying to teach this as a thing, but in this particular situation, I can kind of see I could defend a call very remotely here. The fact that we're up against two players that we describe as weak, our calling stations, they're probably not going to be people that are going to put a lot of pressure on us the rest of the hand.
Right.
Right. We're probably looking at $400 bets the rest of the way.
Right.
So, I mean, you can actually do some calculations here. If you call a 400, you get, you know, a turn to river 400. That's $1,200 of our 10,000 to see whether maybe our Broadway is good, you know?
Yeah, I can't think like that, though, because you think like that, you're giving them a chance to.
Oh, no, normally I don't. But considering the players we're against, I mean, I really could see that as a scenario that works out here. And by raising, then we could put more in. But I'm definitely on board with raising. I was just trying to find a way to defend the call here.
Well, let me take a wild stab in the dark. The big blind will call.
Okay, all right. The big blind, once again in deep thought, takes her sweet time before calling the 400.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Oh, all right, so that's another 1,200. So we're up at the 2,500 in the pot. Okay. The turn is the 9 of diamonds. King of spades, queen of spades, jack of spades, 9 of diamonds.
Well, somebody,
for us, but it could help somebody get a straight that's worse than ours.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really see somebody having, you know, a straight here, you know, different, like 8-10 in their hand, with a 10 of spades maybe, but really that nine just didn't help anybody, and we need to take a stand somewhere on this hand. But whatever, what happens?
All right, small blind, once again, deliberately checks.
Now, what does that mean, deliberately? Taking a long time?
I think they would deliberate, yes.
All right, all right.
Rather than
being deliberate. Just instantly checking. Okay.
And our initial better, actually, see, this is why we should never do what I was trying to find out last time, because the initial better bets 1,000 now, not 4.
So there you go, there you go. All right, 1,000 into a $2,500 pot. Still probably kind of a weakish bet.
Less weak than the first bet, though.
Yeah, less weak than the first
bet. Now we're close to half pot, at least.
Pretty weak, yeah. So, again, I need to raise. I need to at least get heads up here. I'd be glad to make it 2,500 here.
Yeah, I mean, this was. I mean, I know we talk about, hey, I wouldn't have played this hand like this, and now I've got to play it the way the person played it. But we're really in a pickle here now by not raising the flop, I think. Yeah. I don't know whether I can raise now if I just – because now, I mean, it raises 3,000, right? We've already put in 400, 800. Yeah, I mean, we're not pot committed with a raise, but getting pretty close there.
Yeah.
And at this point, I don't know. I mean, I got the two players. I mean – like you said, the 9 is kind of inconsequential, so I guess I'm not worried about it. I guess it's the same situation as the flop. It's just going to cost me more to raise, right?
Yeah. I think I'm raising, though. Like, same situation, so I have to raise. I said 2,500. I thought that might be enough to get at least the big blind out.
Probably would.
But what happens?
All right, well, our hero again immediately makes the call.
Oh, well, I thought, now wait a minute. Now here's the thing. You know, our hero was saying that these people were weak tight and always were calling stations, and that's all we're doing. Am I wrong here? All our hero has done is check, called, or called, or whatever. So, well, it's the same thing.
Again, I'll try to defend a little bit here. I mean, if you play against calling stations for quite a bit, you kind of get a little gun shy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, any raise you put in, if you push all in, I'm calling, kind of get frustrated with that. So again, I'm not defending it, but I can understand it, that, you know, hey, let's just try to get the river as cheaply as possible.
Yeah,
I'll just keep calling these bets because I know if I raise, they're just going to call, it's just going to cost me more.
Yeah, I guess, but it's ironic, I think.
It is.
Okay, so all right, we call.
The big blind thinks for a while again and ultimately makes the call. So now we got a pot of 5,500.
Are you sure you didn't just read the second paragraph again?
Oh, no, I'm actually, so far, I've not screwed this hand up too much.
All right, cool, very good.
All right, the river is the queen of diamonds, so our final board is king of spades, queen of spades, jack of spades, nine of diamonds, queen of diamonds. So in addition to the flush that we already could have been drawing dead to, now we've got boats and quads and all kinds of.
You know, even if we raised, I'm gonna know already that we lost this hand. I mean, there's just no way we won this hand because we almost never win the hands of the week anyway. But you know, I don't know if we could have gotten whoever wins this hand off the hand anyway.
Right.
You know,
right.
By what we were doing, but especially when the board pairs now, you know, you're looking at probably a boat, and so this is why you fold ace 10. Don't be a Cosenza. all right, so I know we're behind here. It's going to have to be a pretty small bet for me to call, I think.
Okay, the small blind checks. The leader here bets 2 grand this time.
God. Now, I've got this person is weak tight. I'm folding. I have to fold.
Yeah. Well, we're down to we got 8,200 still in our stack, according to our email here. I would think we would have lost more than that, but I guess we kept thinking we were raising, right? So
yeah, we weren't.
8,200, I mean, that's a small little piece. It's less than 20% of our stack, and hopefully we can tighten up here and play a little smarter.
Yeah, I definitely would not. I don't know if I would call there. Maybe, but I just feel like I'm behind. I mean, obviously it's the hand of the week, so you feel that way anyway. And if you're in the moment, maybe you call because it's just you don't really respect these players. But to be the player that she was, that he said she was, and this whole line of betting and everything makes me believe she has a monster and I've lost. So I could be losing to a flush, and I definitely could be losing to a boat. So,
yeah,
you know, hindsight's 20/20. My hindsight says fold.
Well, yeah, and it's less than 3x on our money. Of course, we're assuming the caller, the big blind probably will call as well, too. But I think everything's working against us here.
Yeah, I'm folding.
All right, well, our hero looks down at the chip stack and thinks for a few minutes before reluctantly making the call. The big blind takes another eternity before folding. Wow, there's a shocker.
Yeah,
I would have lost that bet.
That was a draw.
And she exclaims, one of you better have the flush. And she had revealed her hand. Remember, she folded, but he revealed her hand as nine of spades, eight of something.
Oh, geez. Why doesn't even make sense? That's not even a hand. Pair of nines. What's the deal? Oh, my God.
Our remaining opponent turns over queen of hearts, queen of clubs.
Quads. Oh, jeez.
Rivered quads.
Man. Quads. Well, there you go. That's what we said in the beginning of the hand. Aces, kings, queens, or ace, king. And she bet it just like, I guess, a set of queens would, probably. I mean, maybe a little more strongly, but...
Well, I think a normal person would have bet more on the flop, but you're not going to give people the odds to draw to that spade flush.
But again, it's a weak, timid player, so for her to bet, she has to have something pretty big, I think. You know, she normally just calls, so yeah, it makes sense to me that that woman has queens. Oh, man.
Well, you know, when I wrote Riley back, and it turns out that this he submitted his hand on behalf of his wife, who was learning to play. So a good lesson for her. But you know what I said here is, there's nothing we could have done in this hand to have won this hand.
No, not to have won it. There's no way you can win this hand unless you.
She's not folding the queen's pre-flop.
No.
She's probably not going to fold it on the flop. Though maybe, I guess, if you got really crazy. And then, of course, you know, on the end.
Well, the only thing I could think of, really, the only thing I could think of is maybe on the turn she could identify that a 10 gives a straight and beats three of a kind. But there's just no way. There's just no way. I mean, if you shoved or did something really bizarre on the turn, maybe she could have put it together that you had a 10 and would let it go, or a flush. But really, she's a calling station, so even if you re-raise her, I don't think she's going away from it. So, no, I really don't think that there's anything you could have done to have won this hand, and you probably should have folded preflop.
Yeah, but I guess the reason I bring that up is that we shouldn't get result-oriented and knowing, hey, there's nothing I could have done to win this hand.
Yeah.
Thinking back through about how to play this hand better next time in a different situation. And certainly, I think folding preflop, raising on that flop, even raising on the turn are all things that certainly would have made this hand better by the book.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though it would have changed the end result, right?
Right, absolutely. But I'm glad Riley sent it in, and I hope his wife learned something from it. I know I did.
All right, Riley, we're going to send you a T-shirt from PMS Pokerware, which sells hilarious shirts for gals.
I think you do this every week. Every week you kind of combine gal and guy.
I'm going to rewrite this. Which sells hilarious shirts for women and men.
There you go.
At PMSPokerware.com. Riley already sent me the address. I appreciate that. I don't have to go begging for it.
Yeah.
But if you have a hand of the week, and we've been getting lots of them lately, so competition out there now, email it to us at podcast@anteupmagazine.com, and you too may win a wonderful piece of swag.
Stay tuned. Next week we'll have our interview with Joe Seebach, and after that, who knows? I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We will see you at the tables.
Ante Up is a production of AnteUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnteUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnteUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.